The real trouble we're facing is time frames. It takes longer to plant a mini than to harvest one. Yes. You've got to change the psychology of it. You've got to get everyone to buy into it. But you first got to see the fat cats getting thinner. Otherwise, no one else is going on diet, put.
Mark, hi, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I can scarcely keep up with who's aligned with who and who wants to supply who with arms and who wants to finance who and who doesn't want to finance who. Is it just television? Has it always been like this, Tim? Or are these leaders forever showing off and having fights and hugs? Will you help me, please?
No. This is dramatic, new, extraordinary, sort of demonstrates the situation in the world very clearly. I mean, you're obviously talking about the fight between Zelensky and Trump in the Oval Office. And I think it is scary as, you know.
Scary as fucking is, yeah.
The reason is you suspect things are true. You think, oh, this is probably true. And then you think, is that my opinion or is that, you know, actually was true? And then you see something like this and you suddenly realize, oh my God, everything that I thought was true is true.
Yeah.
This guy is crazy. One wishes one didn't have to say that, but he is basically, Trump has basically cast Ukraine out to the wolves. And now that opens up a completely new path in international diplomacy.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you scared as
I am a bit scared as although in a funny way, you know, I don't know who's going to be, because he had a fight with Trump and he gets into a plane and then he gets hugs in the UK from Starmer, who was visiting Trump the day before. So, you know, is this for the cameras? Okay. I think we're seeing but a sliver of reality. Yes. That's my first observation. But if it is, in fact, depicting reality, as it is in some way or other, then we're in deep trouble. And the trouble is that we've got so many different reference points. We've got so many different sources of inspiration or rules of behavior, be they religion, be they political alliance, be they hunger, be they wealth, be they all of these forces now. In a world where, you know, communication is real time and you get caught with your pants down in half a second, we're starting to reveal a human race that is losing its way.
But I mean, it is important. You do have to recalibrate as a consequence. You know, everybody has to recalibrate.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest question mark now is whether the West, the idea of the West, is still valid.
Sustainable.
Yeah. And I don't think it is. I think we are beyond the West now. We are into a new game that is in the process of developing, you know? But I must say, I just completely appalled by the fact that Trump and his team don't recognize how important it is for Ukraine to be supported. I mean, we all know what happens if, you know, you have an aggressive, acquisitive, autocratic government with, you know, lots of tanks.
You wouldn't be using the R word, would you? I mean, you're not using the R word. You're not using the R word that's headed by the P word, are you? No.
Hey? Yes. No. I am sort of thinking about Neville Chamberlain and situations in history and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the trouble is now, you know, I follow about 30 publications. That's the only things I follow.
Right.
And when you see a picture, you have to pause and go, okay, which country is that?
Right.
You know, is that the slum in India or the slum in Alexandria? Is that the migrant protest in Greece or is it the migrant protest in London? So there are replicable, common purpose, common design, action activities that are taking place that haven't before. And there are entitlements and the absence of entitlements, which are the new drivers of popularity and force.
Right.
And I'm glad I'm getting old too, man. I am actually, you know, because I'm not up for this shit, man. I kind of sort of know who I am and where I belong and so on. And I'm not sure that a 25-year-old can say that with any degree of confidence. It doesn't mean I'm right, by the way.
One of the things that I think is going to come out of this is that it's just become more apparent that there are, you know, a whole bunch of other countries around the world outside of Europe and America really need to pick up their socks and arrive at the party, you know?
We never knew that before. There are all sorts of
things. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And our world has been very narrowly focused.
Yeah.
And there's this huge continent, Africa, which is kind of quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, give or take the odd revolution, you know.
Yes.
But it's this huge country. There's this huge population of India. There's this huge population of China. There are, I wish someone could sit and prevail over all of these kids in their, you know, in their box and go, okay, guys, is there a sensible, you know, way we could work together for world, you know, furtherance is the word I come up with, for the progress of the human race. I don't know. I'm a bit out of my depth now. Every time I find a news piece, I'm not exactly sure what the defined differences are between the people other than personal greed of some measure or dominance. Not good.
I do think that there's self-sufficiency is now, you know, the most crucial part of international diplomacy. And, you know, you can sort of see that in the decision by the US to pull the AIDS funding from South Africa and, you know, the rest of Africa. And, you know, that's not a good thing. It's horrible. It's just hundreds of people are going to lose their jobs as a consequence. But on the other hand, we should do this ourselves. We should be doing this ourselves. We, you know, in principle, you know, we should be carrying our own water. And the sooner that we get to that point, the better.
No, but Tim, we'll get into the budget perhaps just now. But wherever I look at the expenditure numbers, be they a municipality, be they a province, be they whatever, the predominant cost is people. Okay. The predominant cost is people, not projects. Okay. Now, I'm not saying you don't need people, but you do need people to be doing projects.
Yes.
You can't pull water into a sieve. You've got to actually close the holes in the sieve. You know, you've got to know where you're going. And I think that there is no return on, albeit necessary, the money we invest in people. There's no price. There's no price for content. And the reason for that is that money is not being productively deployed in creating opportunity and productivity and food and all of those things. And so that's at the center of the disquiet, in my view, is that, you know, you can't keep doing that because it's hopelessness defined.
Yes.
You take that, sports lovers. I mean, let's get cheery. It's
what are we talking about now, just by the way?
Exactly. Now, I'm saying that you can't appease.
Right.
You can't appease productivity and progress.
Right.
By paying the participants to be quiet. You can't create a happy world with sweeties. Okay. You can't.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to appease, not to build. No one's doing the hard yards anymore. Everyone's got a limited term in office. They want it to be a prosperous term, and we're not building. I don't see any building, Tim.
I see your point now. There's a kind of intersection in a weird way between what's happening internationally and what's happening locally. And in the process of being self-sufficient, we need to focus on things that are actually productive rather than trying to solve our problems through cash transfers or, you know, we have to focus on growth and expansion and productivity, not just put elastoplast or whatever it is over, you know, this problem or that problem. It's like our budget debate at the moment is actually weirdly pertinent to what is happening, you know, around the world. Is that not right?
No. I mean, you know, in a nutshell, the more and more Sundays you have,
right,
the more you look forward to a Monday.
Right.
It's just, that's how it is.
Right.
Okay. Because we do long to be productive. We do long to see the fruits of our labor. We do long to feel that we've achieved things rather than just being given things. And that's where it's got to change. But let's talk on the things more pressing.
Right.
The budget is in what, like a week, is it?
Yes. That's
more
right.
or less. No, maybe two.
Yeah.
So now the debates are, where can we get our money to? And, you know, I haven't heard much about where can we save money. I've just heard much about where we can get money. Is my perception fair?
No, exactly. You know, there is supposed to be a spending review.
Yeah.
The government's been promising a spending review, something called a spending review, for years and years and years now.
No, we don't do that.
But, you know, the thing about the spending reviews is that it's unpleasant. I mean, it is very hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to tell some part of the government that was getting money that now you're no longer getting money. But, you know, that's part of government, I think. You've just got to face that.
It's part of wisdom, actually. It's not just government. It's part of general human wisdom.
Yeah.
Is that if you eat everything in front of you and don't plant anything, you'll starve to death.
Yeah.
I mean, there it is in a nutshell.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
And so we seem to be on the never-never, okay? And the never never is going to come home to roost, you know. And what really happens is that not only is it, you know, more and more difficult to get out of bed if you get out of bed later every day, but it's more and more difficult to go and earn money if you get given money every day. But it is your demise that you are facing. I'm in a brilliantly good mood this morning. Hey, Tim. I mean, I am the motivator. They call me.
What do you think?
Motivator.
Okay, here's one very specific budget that has been proposed, and that is for government to take a holiday paying over government pensions. So this is around about 60 billion rand. That's almost exactly the size of the hole in the budget. So apparently, actuarially, the government employees pension fund is around about 10% overfunded. So it could take, in fact, maybe 2 or 3 years of payment holidays, and we would still be okay. Now, you know, apparently Cassatu has made this proposal, which I think is bizarre because they're basically suggesting, you know, that the members of one of their unions should take a bit of a haircut. But, you know, if you do save money and invest sensibly for years and years and years in hard times, you know, it's not the end of the world to take a holiday. What do you think of that? I mean, do you think that's sensible or do you think that's horrible?
Look, it can work, and it's often employed in companies where they take a pension fund contribution holiday because then, you know, whatever. It's not news.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The trouble is it's another stroke of the pen solution, an effortless solution.
Okay. Now, yes.
You know, if you sit down there and the only things you can come up with are things that don't require anybody to do any more work, then you've missed a massive opportunity, not only of making money elsewhere, but of changing the mindset and self-worth of the people that are your people, okay? Because that's another stroke of the pen. You go, oh, okay, we'll cross that out or we'll do this, all with a stroke of a pen, okay? And I don't believe that pens solve problems, okay? They don't. In fact, most pens I've come across actually create problems when people say, write them down. I don't know what the answer is, Tim, but I do know that it's both sides. We've got to make more, not just extract what we saved. We've got to make more. We've got to plant instead of harvest. And the trouble is time frames. The real trouble we're facing is time frames, is it takes longer to plant a mini than to harvest one. Okay.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just think, how do you change that? I mean, I don't know how you change it. Yes. You've got to change the psychology of it. You've got to get everyone to buy into it. But you first got to see the fat cats getting thinner. Otherwise, no one else is going on diet. But
yes.
You've got to start seeing no gifting. You've got to start seeing no, you know, malfeasance. You've got to start seeing no donations or inappropriate transfers of funds and value like we see in Prasa, I believe, now, and we see everywhere, you know.
Yep.
If that doesn't stop, why would I work for my money when the crooks are being given their money? You've got to change the psychology of this thing, not the arithmetic. It really is that basic.
The other possibility is a wealth tax, is a kind of one-off wealth tax, which is basically not a tax on income, it's a tax on savings, right? What do you think about that?
You're opening a hornet's nest of debate here, because the only question that beggars, in my view, is how did you make your money?
Okay. Right.
If you made your money fair and square, in a fair and square political dispensation, none of which exists anywhere in my view, but if you did, then why should you be punished for the fruits of your labor? Okay. Now, if indeed the opposite is true, and that the wealthy became wealthy unfairly, then you get into the debate of whether, you know, it's time for them to pay their dues. The question is, what do you do with the money, Tim? Not only how do you collect it. The question is whether you consume what you collect or invest what you collect. And all of these things have to be considered together before you can come up with a sense. There are no quick fixes, man. There are only so many pills you can take to avoid a heart attack. There are only so many quick fixes.
Yeah, it's plasters that you can put on the wound.
So I think we need a fundamental rewrite, and we're in no position to do it.
There are examples out there, especially at municipal level, of municipalities who are trying to put plants into the ground. And I think the penny is sort of dropping, but as fast as some municipalities respond to the need to plant, others are, you know, withering on the vine. Municipal finances really are in a terrible state in South Africa on average.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking there, Tim.
Yeah.
Let's assume you go with wealth tax and you come up to Mr. Wealthy and you go, Mr. Wealthy, we're about to charge you 100 million rand tax.
Right.
He says, okay, I'll pay it on condition that I have some say in what you're going to do with it.
Right.
Okay. Because what's happened, in effect, is that the wealthy have privatized their needs.
Right.
Okay. So the wealthy have said, yeah, you know what? I'm not really going to worry about state security or electricity or water for that matter or education or healthcare. I'm just going to buy my own. Right. Now, that obviously creates an increasingly divided society. If you have your wealth tax, and I'm going to keep on referring it to as your wealth tax, because why should I become? So, yeah. But you come to the guy and you say, your 100 million, and you'll have some sight of it, is going to build 3 schools in this, and is going to build a new sewage plant in that, and some of that. Then you start, you know, creating employment, and you start making that alternative use of capital productive.
Right.
But absent that condition, we know if you were giving some more money that it's going into the wrong hole. It's going through the sieve.
There is.
That's why it can't happen. So I'll tell you what we need. We need some budget enhancing techniques. And the reason that I bring that word up is because I've heard now from a publication no less than the Financial Times,
right,
that they're looking at starting the enhanced games to replace the Olympics games. And in the enhanced games, there's no limit on how much assistance you can get, you know, from performance enhancing drugs and the like. And so they're going to run the 100 meters in 7 seconds flat, high on whatever it is that it takes, in a pure tent of oxygen, and then all drop dead. What do you think of that as a new sport, Tim? That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, it does make the process of checking on whether or not somebody's taken drugs much easier.
Yeah. If you haven't taken drugs, you can't come in.
No, exactly. That's right.
And then there'll be an argument about which drugs
you took. Sorry, we're not running this race. You just took no drugs at all. What do you think this is about? Your innate ability.
Talking about rules, I see you were mentioning the King Code earlier when you were talking.
Yeah, no. The latest version of the King Code, this is King V. King number 5.
King, not 1V, King V. Yeah.
Yeah, it has just been announced. And I've read through it and looked at it and written about it. And I just think it's, I'm not a business person. You are. What do you think about these codes? So basically, it's sort of motherhood and apple pie, right? You can't really be against it. It's all good stuff. You know, companies need to be responsible and they need to be conscious of the society and shouldn't overpay the execs, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're making rules that are so far below the economic drivers of the participants.
Right.
And what do I mean by that? You know, the King Code applies to people whose point of departure is to be legally abiding and decent human beings.
Okay.
Now, you know, in an environment where that's not true, the bad guys don't abide.
Right.
And the good guys don't benefit. Okay. And so, you know, you're creating a piece of what might be regarded as convenient legislation, but without any clause. And so, you know, we are starting to talk about good behavior in school when we've got massive bad behavior throughout the school system.
Right.
I wish them well, and they, of course, have a purpose. And, of course, we need these reference points, these things that we can refer to and go to every now and again. So I wish them well, you know.
Yeah, I'm just, as an outsider to kind of business, and I'm just amazed at how many companies don't seem to bother.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible how, you know, and it's not just the obvious ones. So we've had some very obvious offenders, you know, as who have just basically broken the law, you know. But to me, the interesting thing about Steinhoff, for example, Steinhoff's the, you know, the most egregious example, is that they didn't only offend against the King Code, you know, they went massively into the fraud department by all accounts, you know. So, you know, I'm not sure that the King Code really would have made a difference there. Did they consider the society when they decided to, you know, add fictitious earnings to their income statements, you know? I don't know about that.
You can't bother a thief with honesty. Okay, come on, man. You know, you can't go, how's it? I was just thinking, would you like to be a bit honest? And they go, excuse? I mean, what are you talking about, Put? You know, I'm not going to get the money if I'm honest.
Yes. No,
What I saw? I saw a fabulous thing about unemployment rates around the world.
Right.
And it's fascinating to me, like, you know, a country by this measure has got 33.5%, South Africa and Ukraine 14%, Spain 12%,
right.
Somalia 19%. It drops off very rapidly. Okay.
Right.
Until you get to big old economies like, you know, USA, Germany, Russia, Mexico, Japan. These are all well below 5%.
Right.
What's the difference, Tim? You solve that, you're going to be the man.
Good.
Have a good week.
Good enough. Thanks, Mark. That's interesting. Cheers, everyone.